This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
God is the light, God is the light. How great the wonder of the heavens and the timeless beauty of the night. How great, then how great the Creator. And its stars like priceless jewels, far beyond the reach of kings, bow down for the shepherd guiding him home.
This is From Darkness to Light.
But how many eyes are closed to the wonder of this night?
With your host, Harun
like
Chambel.
Hidden deep beneath a dark stream of desires, but like dreams vanish with the call to prayer, and the dawn extinguishes night. Here too are signs. God is the light, God is the light.
Welcome to another episode of From Darkness to Light. This is your host, Harun Chambel of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. Today we have with us a guest that we've had before, and again, like it was the first time, it means a little bit something personal to me and special. This is my mom that we're interviewing. Her name is Sister Susan. She's been Muslim now for just a bit over a year, and we thought we would take this episode to get a little update, see how she's been doing. So without any further ado, we'd like to introduce her by saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam.
How are you doing, mom?
Subhanallah.
Everything is well?
Everything is well.
Excellent. We'd like to kind of start our first segment here by just kind of getting an update. How have things been for you in summarization, your first year as being a Muslim?
Well, I've felt a lot of growth patterns within myself with Islam, and I know it's just a portion of what I need to learn, and I have much more to learn. But however, I think the first thing that I've learned mostly is my prayers, and to take the time to do the prayers and not rush through them, because even Allah knows when you're trying to rush, and just to get through the prayers, which is not the purpose of the prayers. And then I've also learned the greatest thing other than that I've learned is patience. Hmm. And seems like I hadn't realized I was impatient, but Allah has pointed out to me that I need to be more patient with other people and within myself.
Okay.
And find self-peace.
Okay. Let's look at that first thing you talked about a little bit more in depth. In terms of the prayer, how has establishing the prayer affected your character?
Well, the discipline of the praying five times a day, and I don't look at it like a discipline. It's an honor to be able to pray to Allah and have that time span. And once you get in the pattern of doing your prayers the five times a day and on time, and if you're a little bit late in doing them, you go, oh, I have to pray. You know?
Yeah.
So the bells go off, and it's just become a part of my life that is with peace with me when I pray, and I have that one-on-one feeling like I'm right there with Allah, and He's right here with me and no one else. And I know He has many, many Muslims to pray with, but I'm sure that they have the same feeling as I do about their prayer.
Mm.
And it's taught me to learn new aspects of the prayer in as far as the language, because I don't speak much Arabic. And my son, which is you, mm-hmm. helps me with the pronunciation of words and this. And so the Arabic that I do know, I say it well.
For an Indiana lady, you got some pretty good natural skills with language, I got to say, a little bit, without patting you on the back.
Thank you, dear.
Anyway, so in terms of the prayer, what so far has been the most difficult thing about it for you? I mean, you talked about how it's helped you and, you know, the things that it's, how it's touched you, you know, in a special way, but also what obstacles still are you trying to overcome? Obviously, you're going to probably say Arabic, but what else? Give us something else.
Well, just to the Arabic and, let me think.
Like, have any certain prayers been, like, difficult for you of those five that you're supposed to make daily? Have you had any hardships with any of them?
I guess the one at the Maghrib.
Maghrib.
You know, because of the timing of the prayers.
Yeah.
And
the sunset prayer.
But it's really not the prayers themselves. It's you know, where I work part-time and
yeah.
being able to get there and do the prayer. I don't like to do it like last half hour before it goes out, because then you feel like you have to rush.
Yeah.
And I don't like to do it feeling pressure from my boss, because then you feel like you're back there. He said to do it, but then you still feel the pressure of getting it done and getting back.
Right.
But when I'm at home or at my other job, they respect my prayer, and I don't feel that rush, you know. I know they know I'm praying. In fact, they say where I work, my main job, they always say, pray for us also, Susan. I say, okay. So, you know, I do. And but it's a good feeling, but I just don't like to be rushed during prayer.
Right.
And I guess that's the only downfall of praying that I have.
So let's explore this for a second. When you first started making the commitment to yourself that you wanted to do the prayers consistently, and it came to making the prayers outside of the house, like when you're at work, so forth, like that.
Right.
Initially, did you have any kind of apprehension in wanting to communicate your desires towards your employers?
You mean as far as the prayer?
Yeah. Like, did you feel a bit shy about trying to bring it up?
I do. I bring it up all the time. I don't do it so much at my main job because they're so understanding.
Yeah.
But the other job, I work with a lot of Muslims
mm-hmm.
at my other job.
Right.
And a lot of the women don't even cover when they're younger.
Right.
And so, you know, and I've influenced a couple of them, but then, you know, they set back, a couple of them set back also to not covering again because they didn't feel that they were really, really, really ready to cover all the time.
Right.
And I just explained it to them, you know, the issue of covering within the Quran itself and Islam.
Right.
And that they would have to make the decision on when to cover and not to cover, but if they're going to cover again, be sure they're ready to stay covered as
All
far,
right.
you know, as their beliefs and everything and respect. Other than that, you know.
But when you first started wanting to pray, right?
Right.
In both your main job and your side job, did you feel shy to go to your employer and say, listen, I'm Muslim now, I need to pray, stuff like that?
Well, actually, my main job,
mm-hmm.
the people must know about the prayers, how important they are to Muslims.
Mm.
Because all I have to do is say, you know, I'm going to go in such and such office and pray now. And they go, okay.
So you found that, like, when you actually started just communicating with them, there wasn't any kind of, like, barrier. There wasn't any kind of hardship upon you.
Oh, no. No, not here at all. The other job, you know, that's a part-time job. At first, they seemed really open when I started there about the prayer and stuff. But now, you know, if they're busy, you can't leave. And I understand that. But they have to understand about my religion also.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm at a point there in that job where I have to ask myself, what's more important, the prayer or to stay there?
Yeah.
And I already know the answer to that. It's the prayer. And, you know, I look at it like this. Allah found that job for me. You know, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
Right.
He's always been gracious to me in finding me jobs where I make more money.
Right.
And go to something else where I make more money or better,
right.
better comfort, you know.
Right. We're going to have to ask you to hold that thought for
sure.
a second, Ma. We're going to step away from the mic so we can get a few messages from our sponsors. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Abu Huraira, may God be pleased with him, reported that the Prophet of God, may the peace and blessings of God be upon him, said, "You will not enter paradise until you believe, and you will not believe until you love one another. Would you like me to tell you for what you may love one another?" The companions replied, "Yes, O Prophet." He replied, "For spreading peace among one another."
How great the beauty of the earth and the creatures who dwell on her. How great, then how great, the Creator.
Welcome back from Darkness to Light. This is your host, Harun Chambel of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. We're here today with Sister Susan. In the first segment, we focused mostly on her experience with the prayer since becoming Muslim just over a year ago. In this segment, I would like to shift gears a little bit and talk about the second subject that she mentioned in terms of patience. The first question I have for you is, when did you start to recognize that you had issues with your level of or quality of patience?
Or when my loving son pointed it out to me.
And when was that?
About 2 months ago. He told me I needed to get a grip on life and realize how I sounded to people and to them, and, you know, to somehow find a peace within God and be patient. And believe it or not, I listen. He doesn't always think I listen to him, but I do. And it has helped me a lot, because I've noticed now that if I'm getting impatient with anyone or any place, I stop. And I'm just quiet, and I reflect on the situation and how I've reacted and how I should react. So it has helped me tremendously in that respect.
How do you feel that certain aspects of the religion, such as prayer, have helped you with your patience?
Well, I think it's all part and parcel of your whole being within oneself. You look at different things as you change your lifestyles and your way you think and the way you act. So all those three things, when you're doing one thing, you think of the others. And it's a stopping point. The patience, to be patient means to stop and think and react in a calm way. So to be able to react in the calm way, you have to stop and think about what you've just said or done before you go on with any wording or actions verbally or anything else. And so that has helped me tremendously, because now, you know, and I'm at the point where I do see it. I do react calmer, but it hasn't just flown yet. But that will come, because it's all part of the learning process.
In terms of the consciousness of it, is it something that you're like conscious about now consistently, or is it just something that just comes naturally now?
Well, it's not natural yet. That's what I was just saying. It's more of a conscious thing, but I'm feeling it's becoming more natural.
Right.
And that's when it does become more natural, then I've completed the cycle of the patience, and alhamdulillah, it will stay with me forever.
Inshallah. Can you give us an example recently of an encounter or a situation where your patience has been tested?
But I can't, let me see the instance that happened. Oh, it was just at a drugstore, and picking up prescriptions, and you know, I gave them the prescription. So I went back to get them. My last name is, you know, Cambel, so they put it every which way, and so they never can find it. So, you know, I'm very patient at first, and I say it's Cambel, and then they look at you like you're stupid, you know. And then you're still being patient, and then you're there 10 and 15 minutes, and then I just said, look, you know, I don't know what the problem is. You know, I came in here, I gave it to you. You said come back in an hour. I'm back in an hour, and I'm spelling my name for you. It's on the prescription that way. I don't know how you filed it. Maybe you filed it under Sham instead, because that's the last name. It starts like Sham instead of Campbell. And so then for some reason, you know, I stop, and I said, look, I will just come back tomorrow. And then they go, no, 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 no. And then they go and they find it. But it's like kind of like Allah has set it up, you know, to see how I'm going to overreact a lot, a little, or whatever. And but this time it wasn't so bad, you know, as it has been in the past with me, because I just expect, I'm a perfectionist, and I expect the world to be perfect, and it's not perfect.
Mm.
So the patience in that regard is, you know, I've learned a lot from that.
Mm. And also with this idea of, like, having patience consciously on your mind now, how does it make you, like, look at others when you see them acting impatiently or, you know, getting angry very quickly and abruptly and such?
Well, I, you know, I don't overreact to them when they're like that.
Mm.
And then I find that when I'm kind to them and say, look, I'm sorry that you're having this problem and I will try to help you as much as I can, then they realize that, you know, they've been rude to me. And they apologize to me.
Okay.
So, you know, I think, and that's how I feel when my son, you, were doing that with me. I wanted to snap, but then I looked and I listened, and I realized you were right.
Yeah, it's always hard for
and
people when
they, you get in routines every day of being so busy that you don't have time to think about your family anymore or Allah, just in thought during the day.
Mm.
Then other things cloud your way, and you just become pressurized, and you don't know where to go. You wish you had the time to do like you'd like to do, but everybody wants a piece of you.
Mm.
And you have to find a balance between the two.
Mm. What mainly for you has been the thing that has helped you to find that balance and to maintain it?
Just, you know, my faith with Islam and Allah. And the people that I deal with that are Muslims and how they are. And when you're with a group of Muslims, you know that everybody's going to pray on time, everybody respects it, and you're peaceful. When you're with non-Muslims that don't understand the prayer like you do, or maybe they just don't think about prayer that much at all, other than maybe at church, then they have issues about being able to pray on time and stuff, and it's harder.
Mm.
But with the patience of learning about Islam and vice versa, it's made my life, and the patience is making my life more rich and richer all every day. And I think that's part of why I didn't stick with Christianity, because I was praying, but I didn't understand prayer like it should be. And the peace that comes within it and within your religion.
Hmm. Okay, we're going to have to step away for a few messages from our sponsors. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network.
If the way you dress expresses how you feel, and your dress speaks about you, then your dress not only makes a statement, but it is an important part of your identity. These are American Muslim women. Their dress reflects their faith and their belief in modesty. This message has been brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors.
This public service announcement is brought to you by the Islamic Media Foundation.
As its mountains pierce the clouds, high above the lives of men, weeping rivers for thousands of years.
Welcome back to From Darkness to Light. This is your host, Harun Chambal of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. Okay, so we're going to continue. This is our last segment here for this episode. I'd like to kind of push into a different direction now. what kind of experience would you say you have had as a woman and the way that you experience Islam as a woman?
It's easy for me to answer in some respects and not in another because of the way my parents had brought me up as a child. As far as the modesty in life as my faith and my belief and the respect that you have for your father and your mother and the family image.
Mm.
And so in that respect, I've always had it.
Mm-hmm.
As being a Muslim woman versus being a Christian woman, it's more rewarding to me because of the strong feeling and faith I have within myself and my religion. But when I was a Christian, it's hard for me as a Muslim because of the Christian women, especially this time during the war with Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm on the train or in transportation anywhere with American women, they look at you like they hatred. Mm. And there are a few that are sweet, you know, and kind, and they respect you and they like you. But the majority of them, they don't want to have anything to do with you. And at first, when that was happening, I would say to myself, "Whoa," you know. And then after I examined it and why and stuff, now it doesn't bother me because, you know, I believe in God, in Allah. And he is the only one. And these are just tests that he gives me to see how I handle my reaction to other people in other situations.
Mm.
And our God is an awesome God, and he's very peaceful. And the negative that some people think in Christianity is, you know, the cruelty that men are to women and this, that, and the other. And they just don't really realize what true Islam is like, because if they did, they would embrace it.
Yeah, let's take this this moment here for a second to just dispel and once again a myth that exists. When you decided to start covering and things like this, did your son or any other man, for that matter, that was Muslim, hold a gun to your head or threaten you or force you in any certain way?
No, just the opposite. Men that are Islamic men, when they see a woman covered, they respect her.
And nobody forced you to do it, right?
No.
It was
no
your choice, right?
That's right. Totally my choice.
There you go. See?
But now if I forget, and you know, when I first started covering, after I got used to it, if I maybe start to go out the house without it, I had to run back in and put it on because I felt naked.
Mm.
So, you know, it's just a part of me and my being, my faith and my belief.
It kind of it amazes me a little bit when you think about our culture, because being that the majority of the people that live here with us in the States, being Christian, you would think that there would be more of an understanding regarding this type of cover, you know. And I always talk to people, you know, of my friends and just people that I bump into out in public that are, you know, American, that, you know, talk to me about these kind of issues as far as women covering and this, that, and the other. And I say, you know, I say, like, if you've ever been to a church, you know, and there's like some kind of, like, you know, beautiful glass painted stained window or whatever of Mary, What does she always look like? You know, do you see her hair like all permed out or, you know, like flowing in the wind or something like that? Or, you know, what do you see? And they're like, oh, well, she's covering her hair. And I say, well, okay, if that's the case with Mary and this is somebody that you revere and you look up to, how is it that you can be so negative towards Muslim women when in fact they seem to be embodying that character more than you do? You know, and I don't know. It's just, you know, this is how our culture is, you know. And it's a lot. I think there's a lot of attitudes in people today that I don't know what it is. It just seems like a lot of people have a habit of claiming something that they don't understand. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like you have a guy who will be like, he'll be like, yeah, you know, I play basketball, you know. And you get the guy on the basketball court, and the guy can't even, you know, dribble a ball. He can't even, he shoots the ball and it goes over the fence. It doesn't even hit the backboard, you know, let alone the rim. You know, you got a person who claims that they follow a particular religion, and they have no idea what it means to be that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's just, it's an interesting concept that people can walk around with such haughtiness and such surety of what they claim they are, but yet be so ignorant about it.
But I think in that respect, it's like when you, my dear son, were pursuing Islam years back,
mm-hmm.
and you had asked me, what would I think if you became Muslim?
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember the response I gave you?
I do.
And what was it?
You said that I believe that you're doing this because you want to be closer to God.
And?
That was all I remember. That's the version I have to offer.
I said, I didn't care what religion you were,
mm-hmm.
as long as you believed in God and God only.
Yeah.
And you had told me, I asked you how you came to choose Islam, and you said you had studied all the different religions, what they're about, and you found Islam was the true Islam. It's never been, the Quran has never been changed like the New and the Old Testament of the Bible.
That's right.
And certain issues when it's in it, you know when you read the Quran, if you really read it, it's a blessing. It's peaceful.
Yes.
And it's a good faith and belief and about modesty about any issues.
Yes.
And I think these people that react in that way about the covering and different issues about men and blah, 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 is because they're ignorant and they haven't studied the culture, the true culture. When I say that, what I mean is, if you have a Christian, and people, they should examine themselves, because you have good Christians, you have bad Christians.
Right.
You have good Catholic, bad Catholic. You have good Muslims, bad Muslims.
Yeah.
But a true religious person is a blessing, is good. And God, Allah, whoever you want to call him, whatever faith, whatever religion, he's the one you answer to. He's the one that you praise and you adore. And the people that are bad, that don't follow what they should within their own beliefs, then, you know, may Allah take care of them and straighten them out. But the people need to find them within their own religions that are good. They need to help the bad people. And a lot of times people don't stop and think, hey, this guy did this, why don't we try to help him at least? Even the first hand out doesn't go out. In Islam, it should always go out.
Thank you very much. And we're unfortunately out of time for this episode of From Darkness to Light. We thank you for joining us. And we hope to have you on the show again in about a year or so we can do another little update with you.
I'll be interviewing you.
Yeah, let's hope so. You're going to try taking my job from me, huh? Huh?
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, so for our listeners, we thank you all for listening to us for this episode. And we ask you all to go in faith and to come in faith. For all those people who are not people of faith, we want you to remember that it's never too late. And for those people of faith, we want to say to you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much. And please join us next time for another episode of From Darkness to Light.
God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.